Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Simati Bhakti Vedanta Samani Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Namaste Sanyavadi Pushkati Desatarane. So the question that we've been asked to address, and Maharaj will speak about it in more detail, the answer to the question of how to take the japa retreat home, or what we learn from it, or the atmosphere, or how could we maximize what we take home. So I chose to speak on this topic just of what I would like you to take home in a practical way, in a very practical way. And that is, first of all, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and basically Srila Prabhupada's books. Because there's so many instructions in there, and they are deep, unlimitedly deep, and sometimes our tendency is to be superficial in our approach to them. So please keep Srila Prabhupada's books in your home, and please read them in a careful, meditative way, thinking that here is my opportunity to sit with Srila Prabhupada and allow him to instruct me. So please, that's something you can actually do. Take Prabhupada's books into your home, into your life, and read them, seeking instructions and guidance from Prabhupada. And we've been speaking about, Maharaj, myself, and Victorini Mataji also have been speaking about how to incorporate that even more into especially the Govardhan retreat, the guidance on how to take guidance from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Considering that Prabhupada spent so much of his time, and that when he wouldn't even go, he didn't feel confident that when he went to the West, he didn't feel confident until he had those books in his hand, printed in his hand. And considering that upon his arrival, he said, I don't have the power, but I know the Bhagavatam. If people will just hear the Bhagavatam, their hearts will change. So please take that home with you. Please read alone and together Prabhupada's books. It's much better than talking about cricket and all the rest. That's for the Indian devotees, by the way. Secondly, the Mahamantra. The mercy of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is so great that Krishna nam nama karibu huda nivasava shakti tatapita niyamitas marane nakala itadrisi tava kripa bhagavan. So tava kripa, by his mercy, the mercy of the holy name, is that he's available at every time, at every moment, in every place. And Mahaprabhu is emphasizing that just take Krishna, be with Krishna, keep in the association with Krishna. At any time, in any place, there are no restrictions. Niyama, there is no yama, no restriction. Krishna is saying, you can be with me at any time, in any place. So, take this Mahamantra. Take the Mahamantra into your life as much as you practically can. But especially when we are chanting our japa, and this is so much the essence of the basic instruction that comes out, when you are chanting japa, sit down and know that this is my opportunity to be with Krishna. And Krishna is he's put himself in the holy name so we can be with him. So now we should bring ourselves into the relationship. So Maharaj has so many times told me, I've seen again and again, the most important thing is sambandha, meaning to have the relationship or to desire to sit down and be with Krishna when we're chanting the holy name. And towards that end, we suggest that you just put your attention on the relationship. Every relationship needs attention. So when we sit down or stand up, or when it's our time to chant our japa, put the attention on the chanting of Krishna's holy names in the relationship, and then try your best. And then, as the question comes up about how to experience the Dham and how to experience Krishna in the holy name, the reality is that Krishna in these forms is this always the transcendental autocrat. He is independent. But reciprocating with us, is his reciprocation with us is not our part of the equation. Our part is to put our consciousness there with as much as consciousness, with as much feeling, with as much desire as we practically can, and let Krishna reciprocate as he wishes, and that's what we can do. We glorify Krishna. This is our natural position. It's important that I found it's really important to accept this, that it's why should we chant Hare Krishna? All the Kirtaniya Sadahari. Is Krishna needing to hear his praise being spoken all the time? Is there a lack in his part? No. This is who we are. This is actually who we are. We are Krishna's. Krishna's eternal servant. And when we glorify him, he naturally acts in relationship to us. He's always acting in relationship, but he naturally, as he so desires, reciprocates with us even more and awards up to the point of atma prajanta vajanyata. He will even give himself bhakti vatsalya. He is bhakti vatsalya. That's his nature. Our nature is to glorify him and to be focused on him. And his nature is to be in love with his devotee. So we should don't worry about his nature so much, but worry about our own nature and try to be in relationship with Krishna, especially when we're chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, and especially when we're chanting our japa. We should bring our be there with Krishna, try our best to be there. And then also, of course, we would like to take all of you home with us, but but we can't. We can't do it. But this is all our home, so we're sharing the same home here in Vrindavan. And just to add, Jagtrini Mataji, we were talking a bit, and she said that she would like to speak on encouraging those who had some struggle in there, and she pointed out something that to me that she didn't mention, so I would just like to say it here, and that is that that when we struggle, that every devotee's life, as we're practicing devotees, there's always going to be some struggle. And what she pointed out was the struggles that we had 10 years ago, perhaps we don't have those same struggles, that we actually, as it sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but we actually, if we practice Krishna consciousness, we actually improve. We actually make advancement. We actually mature. Sometimes Krishna, and especially Vrindavan, is really like that. We always think of Vrindavan, we who lived here for many years, it's like a mirror. And the mirror of Vrindavan shows you the difference between what you think you look like and what you actually look like. You think, oh, I'm such a good devotee and this and that, And then you look at yourself, and that's what Vrindavan does. It points out the lack, the weakness, the impurity, the faults. Krishna doesn't see faults. That doesn't mean we don't have faults. It means that Krishna's seeing things that need to be improved in us with the affection of a parent who sees the improvements that the child needs. So therefore, out of affection, it's all pretty, it's all affection. So it's not fault in the sense of condemning. It's seeing that this needs improvement so that our relationship can become intimate. So he points that out to us, especially in Vrindavan. Up to the point, Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev, the Bhakti Lata Bija, it will grow. It will grow. This devotion will grow. And it won't stop growing. It's eternally ours. Even offenses. We always are told to fear of committing offenses. And that, of course. But that doesn't even kill the Bhakti Lata Bija. It just inhibits it from displaying the Bhakti for some time. So that the creeper of our devotion will grow until it pierces the material world. And it will happen. It will happen to all of us if we keep on the path. Please know that. You'll see your faults. You'll deal with them. You'll fail in dealing with them. You'll fail 1,000 times until we call out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Without your mercy, what hope do I have? So sometimes the question comes, as it came up, well, am I supposed to call out? Or am I supposed to just listen? Am I supposed to meditate on the meaning of the mantra? Well, each one in its proper time. And when it's the proper time to, when your heart is really, oh, Krishna, if you don't give me mercy, what will I do? Then you're chanting. It won't be a distraction from chanting in any way. It will be the chanting of the name and the mantra, and it will all be naturally one part of the process. So it's a little tricky to describe it because it sounds like it's different pieces that aren't connected, but it's the same thing. Is that
wonderful?
That's what I heard you saying. It's the same thing. We're calling out to Krishna. And naturally, when our sincerity is concentrated and we really feel we need Krishna, naturally we're hearing with full attention. But if you try to artificially do that, oh, now I have to call out to Krishna. That means I have to really feel bad so I can call out to Krishna with real sincerity. And then it's all artificial like that. So just take it easy. Be patient with yourself. Be, as Prabhu pointed out, not critical with others. How the heart feels better if we stop criticizing others and sort of, to put it bluntly, mind our own business. How the heart feels better. It becomes soft again. And if we're minding everyone else's business, well, who's taking care of our business, which is to develop love for Krishna? So, the holy name, the chanting, and since we can't take you all home, we will hope to see you all here in everyone's home next year and next week even.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simata Bhakti Vedanta Sami Nittinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Haskatyari Ratarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, please allow me to talk just very briefly about some suggestions how you can take the memorable insights and experiences home with you. Two things are for sure. Every one of us made a new experience. If it is just being here and seeing the Brijbasis, or if it is more related to the classes where we have heard something new, or if it is related to the time which we spent in our own practice and we came to a spot which was new for us. One thing is for sure, everyone made a new experience. And the second thing is also for sure, your old life will return when you go back to the place where you are. I'm thinking of commitments which you have, responsibilities which are waiting for you, activities which need to be done. In some ways, the old life will return. Now, one definition of progress means that whenever you make a new experience or whenever you have a new insight which you didn't have before, you introduce this new experience or insight into your life, then there's progress. If you live your life by always doing the same things and thinking the same thoughts, progress is not at all possible. What is possible is, or what will happen is, that your old life continues, or to put it more bluntly, you remain at the level where you are at present. So if you want to make progress, if you want to evolve in your life, if you want to go forward in your life, you need to introduce some new practices and new insights into your life. And this is really the core purpose of any pilgrimage which you make. A pilgrimage is something where you change into a new role, go into a new territory which previously you have not been, activities like bowing down and taking prasadam and hearing in a dose, means in a quantity, which is new for you. Why do you go on pilgrimage? Why do you do these new things? Well, the hope is that you will have new insights by these practices. And then when you return home, you will adopt these practices or principles. I would like to give you an example of a pilgrimage which was first, which was a success in some ways, but bringing the experience home was a failure. And then I want to talk about how to make it a success for pilgrimage. Any pilgrimage, before I give you the example, I need to say, any pilgrimage starts inside. Inside, there will be a feeling which comes before the actual journey which you make, that there is a need to improve. There is a need to find an answer to a question. There is a need to to widen my horizon. Like many of you have come here because they felt there is an actual need for me to develop my relationship with Krishna to a better level, or you felt a need, I need to chant better rounds, or you felt, you know, pilgrimage starts inside by feeling a need, by feeling a motive, a mission for which you undertake it. Then, any pilgrimage, you have to go and go out. You have to go either into the train or the bus or jump on your camel if you're from Rajasthan and leave your village. Then comes the time on a pilgrimage where you do some spiritual activity. In some language it is called, you get an instrument of power. In this pilgrimage, we really concentrated on the holy name. And how to wield the holy name, how to use it in a better way. Then comes the fourth level. You eventually make a new realization. Something strikes you. And then comes the fifth stage, returning home and trying to integrate the new insight and the new experience. And that, my dear devotees, can be a struggle. And it is possible that you fail. So you need to know what helps you in this. I would like to give you an example for a pilgrimage from the Bhagavatam. It's Dhruva Maharaj. You are all familiar with his story. There was a political intrigue against him getting his rightful claim to the throne of his father. He was basically, you know, just mopped out. You know, his stepmother made some... he was cheated. So he has decided, I can't stay in this compromised situation. I have to do something. And he left. He felt the need to get a new insight, a new way to deal with his life. And he left and went to Madhuvan. It's a part of Vrindavan, one of the forests of Vrindavan, and took his bath in the Yamuna. He went on pilgrimage to Vrindavan. There, he met Narada Muni and got his instrument of, you know, his spiritual instrument. That is, he got a mantra. Who remembers the mantra Dhruva Maharaj got? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You know everything about his life. That's very good. And he got some instructions which helped him to chant that mantra to perfection. And he was very, very quickly successful in his case because he was extremely qualified. The perfection of chanting any mantra is to have a relationship or have a darshan or see the personality who is represented by that mantra or who is identical with the mantra. So Dhruva Maharaj, because he had a Vishnu mantra, he had the darshan of Vishnu. Vishnu came on Garuda and blessed him by touching his head with the conch shell, so that Dhruva Maharaj could speak. He was speechless when he saw the beautiful form of the Lord, and then he blessed him by giving him some seva, you know, some to take care of a kingdom. So then after this, Dhruva Maharaj returned home. And as he returned home, he had this new experience. His old life came upon him. His father came, his mother came, with on elephants. There was a huge procession. He was brought into his city. That city was not Melbourne or Hamburg. It was his hometown. And he lived a life of royalty. And his test came. His test through which he had to go. In his case, something got on his ego, and he reacted very violently. He began to fight a war, actually, and so on. And then he noticed in the midst of it, oh my God, I'm here in an ego war. This is not good. And he got instructions by Kuvera and Svayambhuva Manu, which helped him. So I want to say the same, this is the principle. It will happen to you. Some of it has happened to you. You have left your home. You have gone on pilgrimage. You have made a new experience. Now comes the last step. You will go home and you will be tested by your old life. How will you be successful? I would like to offer two very powerful processes. One is, take that thing which moved you. Bhujan Prabhu requested us to think about the most memorable event. There in that most memorable event, you made a new experience. Something which is important for you at this stage in your life. Take that moment. Stay with it for some time. Go through it. Think over it. And you will get some wonderful thing from it. It's your gift. It's your new instrument of power. Power sounds so new agey. It's your new insight. Your new strength is there. Somewhere hidden. Maybe even it is like Jagatarini. So Bhujan Prabhu made this point. Vrindavan, I wrote this down. The mirror of Vrindavan shows you the difference between what you think you are and what you actually are. Yeah? Indeed. So maybe if you have made that realization, that's valuable. That's real for you. Now, do something in your life which you base on that realization. Most of us are just going through life, so much happens and nothing ever gets reflected and processed by us. We are eating and eating but not digesting. Digest your pilgrimage. And, maybe you've said at the microphone, oh, I realized the Chinese devotees said, I realized the chanting is all and everything. That's so. When you go back to China, do something with this realization and put it into your practical life. If you only take one thing from your holy name retreat and integrate it in your life, then progress you shall make. Ah, progress you shall make. So I have come to my end. One thing, and oh yeah, the second what helps is devotee association. Maybe you want to even take an email home from one of your people, new people you met, and you said, can we email? Can we coach each other? Can we stay in contact? Do something with devotee association. Get a devotee friend or a circle of friends, and that helps you. Just like when Dhruva Maharaj failed and got into this ego war, killed people left and right. Devotees, Svayambhuva Manu and Kuvera, helped him out by instructing him and stopping him and giving him the right strength also. And he you all know it is a most glorious Vaishnava, Dhruva Maharaj. By help, you can also become the most glorious Vaishnava. By devotee association. These two things I want to say. Do one thing, this one thing will come from that memorable experience which you had made. For instance, I had made my protection experience. Giri Raj came and you know, in the form of a parrot to protect me from that best of cobras, you know. So I will think about this, that Krishna is really there, and I will do certain steps based on this experience in my life. I also thought after the first lecture of Burijan Prabhu, my God, this is so convincing. I now need to change my life accordingly. And I will do so. And then some progress is possible even for me. Finally, I would like to say one personal thing and then one practical thing. The personal thing is thank you so much for giving me personally the opportunity to serve you. Thank you really so much. I greatly appreciate it. I don't know much. I'm a very bad person. But something I have read and something I have heard, and when I can share that, my own Krishna consciousness, it's good for you. Help me so much, really. I really mean this very serious. It's such an opportunity to serve you in the holy Dharma, please also, when I'm sometimes saying things strongly and saying the, you know, it's I want. I'm not, as I said, a little bit born in an unfortunate background, but I want to use that to shake you a little so that you can start to reflect new about the old things, which you know. The second is, I want to remind you again of the service which we like to continue. There is that free Amritavani newsletter, and you can, if you want to have the Amritavani newsletters, then go and write your name at that poster at the notice board. Good. So I wish you all the best. I will pray for you. I hope to see some, or I know I will see some of you at the Govardhan retreat, but for those of you whom I see for the last time, thank you very much and have a wonderful time at your home in retreat number 2, or retreat part 2, where you implement some of the insights into your daily life. Thank you so much, and Jai Jai Sri Radhe.